Welcome to the Brooks Avenue Church of Christ. Our theme for the year at Brooks Avenue is Take Hold of Hope. And right now we're involved in a sermon series entitled Hope Rising, talking about how the resurrection of Christ speaks to our needs, our fears, and our dreams and our purposes today, talking about how the resurrection gives us purpose and gives us hope. It is the foundation of our hope. Today I'm going to be speaking from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 29, if you would like to join me there. John 20, beginning at verse 19. That evening, on the first day of the week, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. And suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he held out his hands for them to see, and he showed them his side. And they were filled with joy when they saw their Lord. And he spoke to them again and said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And then he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you refuse to forgive them, they are unforgiven." Now, one of the disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. And they told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side." Well, 8 days later, the disciples were together again. And this time, Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. He said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. And don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. And then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen me and believe anyway." May God bless the reading of his holy word. "I'll believe it when I see it." That's what Thomas was saying. And actually, that's what the other disciples were probably thinking earlier. So even after receiving the testimony of Mary Magdalene's personal encounter with the risen Christ, they are still afraid, locking themselves behind closed doors. They have not trusted the testimony of one who has seen the Lord. And the uncertainties of their present circumstances are more real to them than the good news of the resurrection of their Lord. So until they see, they will struggle to believe. And so we find them in this text cowering behind locked doors, unsettled by their fear of the Jewish authorities who had been complicit in the crucifixion of Jesus. And they're behind locked doors, unsettled by the uncertainties of what lay ahead. And maybe that's where some of us find ourselves today, cowering behind self-imposed closed doors because of our fears, the fear of not being loved, the fear of being alone, the fear of not having enough to get by, the fear of being a failure, the fear of death. But the good news is that Jesus would not be stopped by locked doors or by fear. He would not even be locked out by their fearfulness of the uncertainties that lay ahead. And suddenly, there he is in the midst of the fearful disciples. He appears on the other side of the locked door, even though the door was never actually opened for him. Is it a ghost? An apparition of some sort? Is it just their imaginations? No. It is the resurrected Christ in a glorified body. And his first words to them is not, "Hey, how are you brothers doing?" No, he greets them with a comforting word of peace. Peace be to you. He tells them this twice. The first time, maybe it's to calm their fears and their questions about seeing him alive again. I mean, after all, this is something completely beyond their experience. It's as if he's saying to them, "No, don't be afraid of me." And then he lets them see the wounds of crucifixion. And he allows their seeing to confirm that he really is among them. And then he tells them again, "Peace be with you." Don't be afraid, he's saying. And he's encouraging them now not to be afraid of the authorities or anyone or anything else, because he, the risen Christ, is now with them. So what are we afraid of today? Christ is risen, and he is here among us today. And he says to us all, "Do not be afraid. I am with you and among you." But there's somebody else missing from this magnificent encounter. It's Thomas. So where's Thomas? Well, we're not told, but maybe he has fled in fear to his own safe place. But he eventually makes his way back to the disciples. And when he shortly found his way to them, they can't contain their excitement. They're filled with joy. And they tell him that Jesus is not dead after all. He's risen. And they have seen him. And Thomas's immediate reaction to their joy is not one of shared joy, but disbelief. "I don't believe it. And I won't believe it until I've seen those wounds and touched them myself. I won't believe it until I have proof." Yes, Thomas wants proof. But I think we need to understand he wants proof because he wants Jesus. Well, 8 days later, they're all gathered together, interestingly, again, behind locked doors, when Jesus appeared to them. And again, he greets them with, "Peace be with you." Don't be afraid, in other words. And turning to Thomas, he says, "Put your finger here. Look at my hands. And put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." There's no indication that Thomas ever actually touched Jesus, but seeing is enough. And then we have this magnificent confession from Thomas, "My Lord and my God." And interestingly, this is the first time in John's gospel that anyone has looked at Jesus and called him God. And it's also interesting that Jesus did not dispute his claim. Now, history has assigned to Thomas a reputation that I think in large measure is undeserved. You know what it is, doubting Thomas, as if Thomas had done something on par with Peter's three denials of Jesus. The truth is, Thomas is not the only one who's had a hard time believing. Remember earlier, Peter and John, after being told that Christ had been raised, that Peter and John had to run to the tomb to see for themselves, instead of trusting the testimony of Mary Magdalene that the body was gone. And don't forget this, Thomas did stick around for another week, not knowing what was going to happen. So maybe Thomas had more faith than we give him credit for. It takes courage to wait. Now, I find Thomas's initial response to the testimony of the other disciples to be perfectly natural and expected. Now, put yourself in his shoes. How would you have responded? In fact, do you even find now that there are times when you find it hard to believe, when you wish that you had absolute proof that Jesus has been raised? I mean, don't we all sometimes find ourselves thinking that, wow, it sure would be easier to walk by sight rather than by faith? So, are we really that much different from Thomas? I mean, how many times have we thought to ourselves, if only God would answer this prayer, I would believe. Or if only it could be verified that it is the Ark of Noah on that mountain over there in Turkey. Or if only God would show himself to me, then I would believe. It's also interesting that Jesus didn't really chastise Thomas, and neither will he chastise us for those moments. Now, I find it also interesting that Thomas only demands to see the very things that Jesus had earlier showed to the other disciples, the crucifixion wounds. And Jesus' final response to Thomas does not necessarily need to be read or understood as a rebuke, but maybe more as a blessing for all who will come to faith without the benefit of a proof. As Jesus said, "You believe because you have seen me, but blessed are those who haven't seen me and believe anyway." Blessed are those who are able to walk by faith and not by sight. Is it really possible to trust in the resurrected Jesus without actually seeing him? Yes, I believe it is. Years after this account, the Apostle Peter would write in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." But how can this be? I mean, how is it possible to trust in the resurrected Jesus without really seeing him? It's possible by trusting the testimony of reliable witnesses of the resurrected Christ. You see, the story of Thomas, I think, provides us with a valuable working definition of faith. Here it is. Faith is belief based on reliable testimony. Faith is belief based on reliable testimony. I mean, that's the very purpose for which John wrote his gospel, to address all of us who have not seen, but who have heard this testimony. As he would write in chapter 21, verse 24, "But these," talking about the miracles of Christ and the things that Jesus did, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. Actually, that was chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Then the author of the Gospel of John then goes on to say in chapter 21, verse 24, this is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. You see, he's offering testimony that can be trusted, not only his own testimony, but also the testimony of others who encountered the Word of God made flesh, then crucified, then victoriously raised from the dead. By trusting in their testimony and believing, Christ will call us blessed. But it's not enough just to believe the resurrection. We are also called to live the resurrection. And that life begins with our own experience of the resurrection power of God in our baptisms. Baptisms in which, by the power of God, we're raised up to a life of new possibilities and new experiences, a life free from our fears. We live life with the living hope of being gloriously resurrected on the last day. We live each day as a testimony to what the power of God can accomplish in a life. We live each moment in boldness and courage, knowing that the risen Christ is with us, knowing that when Christ is in our midst, we don't need to be afraid. May God bless the reading and the preaching of his word, and may the Holy Spirit of God give life to the words of God. Thank you.